Over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
Good morning, Blackhawks fans, indeed. Wow, as this one went from probably the ugliest start for the team to the biggest comeback for this team in 15 years. Five unanswered goals against the San Jose Sharks, and the Hawks get out of California, finally with a win. They sweep the season series against the Sharks, an overtime game winner, thanks to Seth Jones. But a team-friendly victory as everybody pitched in once they got things turned around in the second period. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 1 o'clock in the morning here on 720 WGN. But first, we're going to head on out to the SAP Center, bring in our pal Troy Murray, who had a lot to say about this team's start. We were able to spread the blame to pretty much everybody, Troy. But once Ryan Donato got the first goal for this team in the second period, you could give credit to just about everyone. A total 180 turn for this team in this game.
Yeah. About as critical as I will get in that first period against the Blackhawks. They weren't ready to play mentally. They made so many mistakes. At the end of the game, they still only said four giveaways, but they gave four pucks away in the first shift, basically, and it just continued through the whole first period. They were only down 2-0, which was good. Their penalty killing wasn't good in this game. San Jose picked up two power play goals. They did get the last one, which was a big penalty kill. But, you know, whatever was said in that locker room after the first 20 minutes, two quick goals. And, you know, you just put the blame on everybody. But all of a sudden, Ryan Donato just finds a way to bang in a rebound from Taylor Radish. Now you got a little bit of life. You put that seed of doubt in the minds of the San Jose Sharks. They've had struggles having the consistency of a full 60-minute effort. Now you get 4-2, and all of a sudden things all just changed. And you could feel the pressure on them. In the last power play opportunity, they didn't move the puck around with any kind of confidence, and you could just see that they were getting really tentative in their play. And all of a sudden, they're back on their heels. The Blackhawks able to get some momentum, pick up some energy in their game, and then it just kind of filtered off with everybody playing the right way and finally winning it with the Seth Jones goal in overtime. Wow, unbelievable.
Yeah, and I mean, especially how that second period started. I mean, it was more mistakes, it was more flukes, but it just happened so quickly. It could have turned into one of those periods like, all right, well, this one just got away from us. I think you got to give them a lot of credit for not getting too down on themselves, for coughing up those two quick goals in the second period, because it's easy to just go the other way and think, all right, this one's in the wash by now.
Yeah, it was a tough start for Seth Jones at the beginning of the game. It was a tough start for Seth Jones at the beginning of the second period. The Blackhawks actually won the faceoff. He tried to move it up the boards, but it just really wasn't the right play. And the puck came right back at him, and he lost his balance, and he fell. Now, all of a sudden, they move the puck quickly over to a position in front of Vlasic. The shot comes in from Zetterlund. He's trying to defend himself there, goes up into the top corner, 16 seconds in, and then Zetterlund scores on a power play goal with Mackenzie Entwistle in the box again, because he was in the box when the Sharks scored on their first power play goal, so he must have felt sick to his stomach. And all of a sudden, it's 4-0, a minute and a half into the second period. But I'll tell you what, they battled hard, and it was good that Ryan Donato was able to score relatively quickly after that. It was 6:45 into the second period, and that gave the Blackhawks a little bit of life, and they were able to build off that. 6 minutes later, they find another goal by Tyler Johnson. Nice little feed from Donato behind the net. Now, all of a sudden, you really have put pressure on the San Jose Sharks. They were able to come back all the way. They were able to get the job done in overtime. This is going to be a massive deflating loss for the San Jose Sharks and for the Blackhawks. I'll tell you what, it's going to make that flight a lot happier on the way home tomorrow.
I really liked Lucas Reichel's game, or at least the rush in the third period that he had. Just seemed very aggressive, trying to make things happen. And then there was that one sequence where he had like three quick just touch passes right away. It was both things. It was him driving with the puck, and it was him looking for his teammates. It was nice to see him take another big step forward in his game tonight.
Yeah, I liked what I saw from Lucas Reichel. Offensively, he's still struggling to find that confidence. But what you're looking for if you're the coaching staff is what he does when he doesn't have the puck. And I thought maybe this was his best game this season away from the puck. And, you know, at the beginning of the game, you're not saying that anybody did good. But all of a sudden, you know, he started to make some nice plays. It was a real nice back check in the neutral zone where he stripped a puck away from one of the Shark players, turned around in transition, missed a one-timer, but at least last game, he fanned on the one-timer. This time he fired it high and wide. It looked like there was a little bit of an opportunity. Didn't have a shot on goal this game, but I thought that his play away from the puck was much better in this one.
Best comeback for the Hawks since 2009, Troy. October 12th against Calgary.
Best comeback ever.
Best comeback ever.
Best comeback ever.
I
remember that game, too, and that was quite a game. I mean, it just got away from it, and all of a sudden the Blackhawks just came flying back against the Flames.
That's the game you remember? You don't remember your own NHL debut, but you remember the Hawks coming back 5-0 against Calgary back in 2009?
Yeah.
All right, I'll take it.
I'm still trying to figure out who my first game was against. Those are moments you'll never forget.
Until you do.
Until you have no idea what happened.
All right, pal. Fun game. Well, enjoy one more night in San Jose. Enjoy the last day of your voyage. And we'll talk to you in a couple of days. Looking forward to working with you, pal.
Yeah, well, quite a voyage.
One slip of the tongue, and it just turns into a whole joke on the whole broadcast, but whatever.
It was a fun game at the end, obviously. And, you know, you put yourself in a position where you can get the extra attack. A lot of times it doesn't work, but you get the extra attacker.
What about that voyage?
I'm untying my tongue here. Just give me a second. You get the extra attacker on the ice, which actually they did when there was two delayed penalty calls against the San Jose Sharks, where they were able to score on those plays, where they did actually get Mrazek on the bench for an extra player onto the ice there, and they were able to score. And boy, I was talking about, you know, just a play by Klim Kostin that needs to be different. He took a penalty, I think, against Connor Bedard along the boards, and rather than stopping right there, could have eliminated, play would have been over, whistled, he's in into the penalty box. He turns to the referee and kind of looks at him like, hey, you know, oh, come on. Well, the play's not dead. The play's not over.
Right.
And the Hawks were able to move it around there and score on that play. And that's one where, you know, the coaching staff is going to say, hey, you know, whether you think the penalty is right or not, you don't stop playing. And he stopped playing on that play, and that factored into, you know, the end result in this game. So, you know, that's just a kind of a mental mistake, but a big mental mistake that can't happen if you want to be a regular in the NHL.
Yeah, play through the whistle. Hawks did, and they come away with an overtime victory. All right, Troy, great stuff.
Okay, you're getting rid of me, huh?
Unless you want to hang out. I mean, I figured you had to get on the bus or something, but...
Well, I don't think they're going to be in any hurry. They're just heading back to the hotel. But I'll leave you. You got
no,
work to
hey,
do.
Hey,
no,
I mean,
no. I can take a hint. I'm out.
No, it sounds like you got a chatty Darren Pang out there in the booth. Am I wrong? I'll take that as a yes.
I can't see him. He might be behind.
He doesn't have the headphones on, so I don't know if he heard the jab, but I could hear an extra little bit of combustion over there.
Like our booth is just separated by a little partition here, but it's actually Chris Voster is talking to one of the stage managers.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm sure
Hanger's gone somewhere. He's probably got a glass of wine going already back at the hotel.
Maybe he and Luke picked up some bottles when they went wine shopping in San Jose. Well, I know
that would have been impossible because Panger and I were on the golf course.
Oh, how'd you shoot?
Some good, some bad. Little fella kicked my, you know what, again. I can't beat him in golf. I can't beat him in ping pong. I gotta find something I can beat him in.
How about you play him in basketball?
I could be the worst basketball player in the history of history.
All right. Well,
oh,
volleyball.
Oh, 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 oh.
Is somebody popping by?
No. John Weideman forgot his phone.
Oh, man. I'm sure you'll only hand his phone back to him. You won't have anything else to do.
I got plans with this one.
I feel like you've been taking notes. You've been working. You've been waiting years for this.
Oh, big mistake.
Why did John Weideman just text me 15 messages just a moment ago?
Huh? No.
All right. All right. I know you got a ton of pranks to play and training.
Yeah, okay. We're all done.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Troy.
All right. We'll see you, Joe.
All right. We'll see you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That is Troy Murray. As things get a little wacky, but that's what happens with late-night radio and late-night comeback victories. 5-4 for the Hawks tonight over the San Jose Sharks. 5 unanswered goals against Evan Cooley. This is the second straight game that the Hawks have been able to do that. San Jose grabbed 2 goals against the Hawks last week at the United Center, and then Blackhawks had 5 unanswered, 4 of them coming in the third period. And tonight, it started in the second period, rolled over into the third period, and then Seth Jones with the overtime game winner. And Jones actually finishes with 2 goals tonight, 4 shots on goal. He finished as a +2. Connor Bedard led the way with 6 shots on goal. And I know Troy was barking at the official scorers for not giving Bedard an extra assist in overtime. That still seems to be the case. After Bedard won the faceoff, San Jose never had control of the puck, and the Hawks just go down the ice and score. I know a lot of people want to look at this game as a straight-up matchup against the San Jose Sharks to help the Blackhawks' chances in the tank standings, quote-unquote. But this was a very important win for this team. I think for this team to feel the sense of being able to come back, erase everything that happened in the first 30 minutes of the game, maybe more, and it really was probably the worst start for the Hawks this year. I mean, they didn't come out ready to play. They were kind of being dominated by San Jose. And, you know, we always talk about when the Hawks have been playing their better hockey this month, I've been very honest about who they've been playing against. Well, it works both ways. You have to be honest about the Hawks' start tonight against the only team below them in the standings. They were outshot. They were getting schooled on the faceoff dot. They leave that first period down a couple of goals, and I really thought the 4-0 loss just was the final nail in the coffin. I'll admit that. I kind of thought the third goal was going to make it all said and done just because of the way this game was going. But you got to give a lot of credit to Ryan Donato scoring that first goal just by his work ethic, his ingenuity. Give credit to Luke Richardson for switching around the lines, and I'm sure he had something to say in the dressing room too. We'll get some sound from the Blackhawks dressing room. We'll have to hear what Luke or anyone else had to say. And honestly, the third period was a very solid period played by this team. And it's not often that they pull the goalie and tie things up, but they did tonight. Filip Kurashev picking up his 15th goal of the season, another career high. This was a good comeback win for this team. Now, this was a great win for this team. Regardless of the tank standings and all that, these are the wins we're talking about that's important for a young team that's rebuilding. These are the wins that are necessary. And Troy's right, it's going to be a world of a difference of a plane ride home tomorrow, or today, because they were able to squeeze out this win. We're taking this up to 1 a.m. We got a lot of things to cover. I want to talk about Lucas Reichel, Landon Slaggart, a few other things, and of course, we'll get some sound from Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times, who's out in San Jose. Blackhawks beat the San Jose Sharks in overtime, 5-4. Blackhawks hockey on 720 WGN.
High slot, now Jones rolls in, fires, he scores! Hawks win in overtime! Seth Jones with a shot from the slot! Beats the goaltender Cooley. It's his second goal of the night, and the Blackhawks end this road trip in style. A come-from-behind overtime victory over the Sharks. It took them 18 seconds of overtime. Jones firing it past the goaltender Cooley, and the Blackhawks prevail.
What a fun one tonight. Five unanswered goals scored by the Hawks. They erase a four-goal deficit from San Jose, tying things up in the final minute. And then Seth Jones with the overtime game winner. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 1 a.m. this morning. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join us from the text line 773. Hard-working game. Mrazek Valiant and resilient in goal. Yeah, this was another great game by Peter Mrazek. Maybe a goal he would have liked to have back, the second one by Tom Bortolo. And that's what I was kind of getting at earlier, that there was enough blame to go around in the first 30 minutes of this game, but then there was just as much credit to go around right after. And with the year that Peter Mrazek's had, we can give him a goal or two, or maybe even three sometimes, because he has been the most consistent player on this Blackhawks team. A huge glove save on a breakaway from San Jose late in that second period. Troy always talks about having the one big save that can really swing a game. I do think that was one of them. Again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200 from the 630 area code. I was not going to stay up this late, but what a great game. Yeah, how about it? And from the 815, will Steve and Johnny be coming on? Well, we'll get the best of Steve and Johnny after we finish up the post-game show again, taking you up to 1 o'clock tonight. We'll give our player with the most heart, which is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Northwestern Medicine is home to the state's leading heart and vascular program, top-ranked for 16 straight years by U.S. News and World Report. I'm going to give it to Ryan Donato, a three-point night. He had the first goal for the Hawks. Primary assist on the Tyler Johnson goal, and then I believe the primary assist on the Philip Kurashev equalizer. Great game for him. Great turnaround for Seth Jones. He chatted with the media after scoring the game winner. Let's hear from number four.
It was quite the roller coaster. We hated our first period right from the get-go. You know, I didn't come ready to play tonight, and I take responsibility for that. I kind of set the tone, and we didn't get off to a good start, so that was on me, and I'm glad we can kind of, you know, I think Donnie's line did a great job in the second period of really bringing us back. TJ and Rad's second, third efforts on pucks all the time, and they got a couple goals there for us, so we cut the lead in half. And then we just tried to, we really wanted to be more physical. We didn't win enough puck battles in the first period, and we said we were going to hit everything in the second, third, and I thought we did that, and Twisty had a lot of good hits. A lot of forwards had good hits. Our defensemen started hitting in the D zone and stopped plays, and you know, it's a good couple goals there late. It showed a lot of determination from us tonight.
How good does it feel to win a game like that when you're down 4-0, you come back and win like that?
It feels good. I mean, you know, we want to take things day by day right now and get better every day. And I think that shows a lot of, like I said, determination in this room, grit in this room. We all banded together. I think a lot of times this year we've kind of separated and tried to do it ourselves a lot of the time. And I think tonight we really hunkered down and we did it together. So that was awesome to see.
So when you guys were down 4-0 as a defenseman, that's why you felt like it was some on you that you guys gave up those four goals like that?
Well, it's totally, you know, I mean, we're a team out here, but I think that, you know, I turned that one over, I think, second shift of the game. Then me and Vlasic got scored on the PK as well on a high tip. So we didn't start great tonight. So I think when the puck ends up in the back of the net, a lot of the times the defense will look at themselves because we're the last on the defense. We're supposed to put out fires. So we didn't do a great job of that. And, you know, first shift in the second, it just seemed like one of those nights, but I'm glad we turned it around.
Donato's played his best hockey for the past month or so, and you mentioned him kind of turning things around, but what has he done effectively?
I think if you watch his game, he's just physical. He's hitting everything on the forecheck. He's tracking. He's making it tough on, I think, their D a lot of the times. It sucks as a D when you get hit every time you go touch the puck or on a breakout or in the neutral zone, so I think that really got his game going. He's moving his feet. He's got a bomb of wrist shot. He's shooting the puck more, and I think he's going to the net. You see he's kind of starting scrums around the net too right now. You know, you call it, you know, whacking the goalie late or whatever you want to call it, but he's getting in there and stirring things up, and I think that's been great for our team.
With the context of the season where it's been such a rough time, and I'm sure this, I mean, if you guys lose this game and then have the flight home, and how much does, you know, like a moment like this just, even, you know, in the context of the season, just kind of leave you able to enjoy something?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely want to enjoy each win we get. You know, they haven't came around too often. I think we can take lessons from each one we have, especially this one tonight. You know, not the greatest start. I think we've had a lot of bad starts this year. I think we started bad against this team last week as well at home, down 2-0. So and we came back both times. So it's a good lesson for us that we need to be ready at puck drop, myself included, whether you're a veteran or a young guy. And I think we did a good job tonight of that.
So
coming back.
Okay, it's late in the season, but how has it been playing with the hotshot rookie on this team, and what has the atmosphere been like with him?
It's been crazy, city to city. You see the fans he has. I just think he's taking it so well. He's humble. He comes to the rink to work every day, and no matter what line he's on or what's going on, how many minutes he plays, he's played a lot of minutes this year. But he's been great for us. His shot's deadly. He's super smart on the puck. I think our power play's really turned it around with him moving the puck quick on the half wall, and then his shots. I mean, everyone's scared of his shot already. He's played 70 games in this league, 60 games in this league. So he's only going to get better and better. You see how much quicker he's making plays, and he's moving his feet and opening things up for guys all the time.
Seth Jones was accountable for his direct mistakes that led to goals early in this game, and was accountable for the overall team. And he basically just said what we've been saying, too. The best part of the team camaraderie tonight was how everyone was able to turn things around from trailing 4-0 to winning the game 5-4. It was really complimentary of Ryan Donato's game as well. He's who we're going to hear from next, and apparently Ryan Donato sheds a little light on what Luke Richardson had to say after that very rough start by the Hawks. Let's hear from the Hawks number 8.
I don't know. I think it's tough. You go down 4-0. We were very disappointed in ourselves, but, we were down 2-0 last time to these guys, and we come back, and I think we knew we had a chance. We just got to play the right way, and I think we simplified, and, when you do the right things, usually a good thing happens.
You seem to have a lot of fire when you scored that first goal. Were you hoping to spark some, or what was going through your head when you get on the board there?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're down 4-0. Dubs does a great job trying to spark us and get us going. I think, you work so hard, and sometimes they don't go in. You just pray that they go in, and, I got a lucky bounce there, and Rats put a great rebound shot for me to pick it up, and, I think, in a 4-0 game, you just need to get one, and you start to feel better about yourself, and you get two, and then you're back in the game. So I think for us, it was a tough start, but I like the way we managed it after.
Seth was saying he's seen you be more physical the past few weeks, and that's kind of when you are on defensemen like that, they kind of back off, and that creates more space for you. Does that work well?
Yeah. No, I think that's definitely a thing. I think, I think if you look at the last, 12 games, 15 games, we've scored a lot more, especially at home. And I think when you get confident, you tend to be a little bit more aggressive. You play on your toes. You're not sitting back waiting to see what they're going to do. You're the aggressor. We finish checks and create turnovers, and we get chances. And I think that's the recipe for success. And a big comeback win like that's hopefully a bright spot for the future.
So what was the PG version of what was said after the first intermission?
Not good things, I'll tell you that. It was a little scary. Luke is he's a very kind guy, and when he needs to be, he can definitely get us going in the right direction if he needs to, and he definitely did for us this game.
To come out the second period, like you
said,
the way you guys came out the second period, though, still, you guys tried to spark yourself the first, and they had the second start that way. How did you guys, was there anything said after those, two goals to start to kind of try to figure out?
Yeah, obviously, I don't think those guys that started the period were saying a lot of good things coming in, and I think they had all good intentions, and sometimes they get a bounce, and that guy made a good play and put a really good shot on the net. Razzie's bailed us out so many times this year, and what he did for the rest of the game after that, he shut it down, and we picked it up after that, and it was definitely a lot of good signs for the future.
How about the support you guys got here from a lot of Blackhawks red in the stands tonight?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been awesome. I love being a Blackhawk. A lot of these games feel like a home game, and even on the road, and I think every day is a blessing when you're a Blackhawk, and I'm having fun, and I think a lot of the guys are. And it's tough losing sometimes, and I think we understand that, but a win like this definitely shows us that we can do it, and we have a bright future.
What did you see on that tying goal, just trying to get it in the front of the net?
Which one?
The fourth goal. Yeah,
I think Kirsch is so dynamic. He has so many different tools. He's good in front of the net, and if there's a guy who has a stick open in front of the net and it's Kirsch, you're going to get it to him, right? And I think obviously the first one didn't go in, but a guy like that, he's relentless. He got the second or third whack on it, and it went in. And we've had a lot of 6-on-5s this year, so it was definitely good to see one go in.
Ryan Donato says that Luke Richardson's speech after the first period was a little scary. And yeah, he's right. Luke Richardson is a very nice guy and usually an easygoing guy. And all the time players rave about how he's a players-friendly coach, but really wasn't anything to be happy about after that first 20 minutes. I mean, again, there was nothing. First 30 minutes, I was thinking, man, what are we going to talk about? Like, there was a nice pass by Lucas Reichel in the first period, but this is going to be a very frustrating post-game. And by the third period came around, I was thinking, okay, even if they don't come away and win this game, at least there's a lot of positives we can pull in different ways. Still a lot of negatives, still a very bad start, and that doesn't erase how the Hawks started this game tonight either. But there were a ton of adjustments, a ton of improvements, and thankfully it resulted in a win. From the 708 area code, before we go to our next break, the Hawks lost the three-game road trip 14-7 and went 1-2. The season can't end soon enough. With 11 games left in the rebuild season, they will still be in rebuild mode the next few years. Luke is doing the best he can, and now they need to name a captain for their future if they plan on helping Luke making all the players accountable and play as a team. Your facts at the beginning are right. Your opinions later on, I might pick apart a little bit. I don't think slapping a C on Nick Foligno or Connor Bedard or Seth Jones' chest right now changes the leadership in the room. I think the guys that are going to be leaders are going to remain leaders, regardless of what's on their chest. Sure, this is year two of a rebuild, but we are starting to see pieces already. We're seeing Connor Bedard right away. Alex Vlasic is having a sensational, I'm calling it a rookie campaign, but I know he's not technically a rookie anymore. But it seems like the Hawks did the right thing by sending Lucas Reichel down to Rockford. And I want to talk more about Reichel when we come back. We're also going to hear from Luke Richardson as well. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or if you'd like to text. Blackhawks win a thriller. 5-4 in overtime over San Jose. We're talking about it on the postgame show, 720 WGN. No, everyone can't rule the world. But the Blackhawks can rule the San Jose Sharks this year. They sweep the season series. 5-4 overtime victory. Seth Jones with the game winner. And they come back after being down by 4. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. Thanks for hanging around with us, whether you're up late this Sunday morning or tuning in on the podcast version of the postgame show as well. That was our save of the game. It's sponsored by ComEd for Business. ComEd powering business, powering lives. Peter Mrazek with 26 saves tonight and a big one in the second period. Just another solid night for Peter Mrazek, even if it wasn't a great start for the entire team. Again, the Hawks jumped out to being down 4-0. We do have sound from Luke Richardson, but first I do want to talk a little bit about Lucas Reichel's game, because we've put a microscope on him since coming back from Rockford, and this was his fourth game back? Yeah, fourth game. After having 7 points in 9 games down in Rockford, he hasn't lit up the score sheet in his 4 games here in the NHL, but you definitely sense a different intuition in his game. He's more aggressive, but he's not incredibly aggressive. But he's more mindful when he has the puck, and he's also more mindful with his passing. Thought there was a great example in the third period. His best drive came in the second period. He's kind of carving up the defense in the neutral zone, accelerating on the near side, going around behind the net, up to the far wall, like a ton of confidence. None of this has really translated to offensive chances just yet, but it does look like a step in the right direction. In the third period, he tried to do that again. It was a good poke check by one of the San Jose Sharks on the near side, but then he ends up getting the puck back at the high point and then working it over towards the corner, and all of a sudden he just starts making these almost Connor Bedard-like passes. His head's not straight on the player, so it's deceiving the defense, and it's just all these quick one-touch passes. One of them, a centering pass to the front, right in front of Devin Cooley's crease. So it's been really impressive to see the strides that Lucas Reichel has been making, and hopefully that'll translate on the score sheet as well. Let's hear from Luke Richardson after this 5-4 win.
Yeah, no, I think obviously we didn't like our start, and, you know, both the coaching staff and the players, and you know, the guys, the leaders in the room. It took a while, but I thought in the second period we started to get our legs, find our legs, that we didn't have for some reason. You know, we were, had a day off yesterday, but sometimes it takes a little bit to get over the physical hurdle and the mental hurdle. So they did that, and I think in the second period, we got pucks behind them, we forechecked them, we made it very difficult for them, and I thought that was basically the outcome of the second goal that really got us back into the game. And then I think it was 4-3, I believe, in the third period, and Peter made a huge save for us, right point blank. So I think that was kind of a motivator for our guys to kind of go and reach out and get that tying goal for him.
It sounded like you brought some fire at the first intermission.
It was actually, yeah, before that. We had a little talking on the bench, and, obviously not happy, but I like to, you know, keep calm, because I get the message across, but tonight was a circumstance where they needed a little bit less calm.
It seemed like Donato, I mean, he's played pretty well over the past few weeks, and he really kind of sparked things a lot for you.
Yep, absolutely. He's a guy that's an energy guy. He doesn't really care what the situation is sometimes going on. He's just going to go out and give you his all, and that's a good thing. So, I thought the guys awarded him with the team award at the end of the game tonight, which was very well deserved. And you know what, he's a guy he's ready to go at any moment on the bench, and he likes to be a good team guy. So I think it was great for him to get us going on the board, and I think he just continued. He doesn't just get his goal and then go away. He just continued to push all night, and you saw it everywhere on the ice. So it was great. I think it brings people along when you do that.
Not only was this the second straight win for the Hawks over San Jose goaltender Devin Cooley, Devin Cooley's only two games have come to the Blackhawks. He had some kind of disheartening words after this one. We'll wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show next, 720 WGN.
Anderson slides it right wing side to Greer. Drops it off to Rooney. Gives it back to Greer. And he'll leave it behind for Anderson, who shoots and scores. Rasmus Anderson whips the puck past Casey DeSmith. And with 1:29 left in the second period, the Flames get on the scoreboard and cut the Canucks lead in half to 2-1.
Derek Wills of Sportsnet 960, The Fan. That's the Blackhawks. Next game, the Calgary Flames, and it's brought to you by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Calgary 4-2 loss to the Vancouver Canucks tonight in Vancouver. I'm Joe Brand, wrapping up the Blackhawks postgame show. Really quick, Devin Cooley making his second appearance in the NHL, both against the Hawks. Last week, coughed up 5 unanswered goals at the United Center. Well, actually 4. To lose that game, coughs up 5 unanswered tonight to lose tonight's game. Here's what he had to say. Oh, man, that sucks. Again, so close, and I liked my first game, so close. I don't know what's going on in the third. The team was dialed in. I thought they played amazing, and I just couldn't make the save where I needed to. Obviously, it was super special. Again, he's from the San Jose area. It started off really great. Then it's a little bit embarrassing. You kind of feel for him, but that is the NHL as well. But great win for the Hawks, 5-4 in comeback fashion. They sweep the season series against the Sharks.